Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Psalms 100. This season of Thanksgiving. Amen. Psalms 100. Familiar passage of scripture. We've heard it in song. We've said it in hymns. We've quoted it. We've read it. We've opened up services with it. If you've been in the church for more than a little while, you've heard portions of this psalm. Amen. We're going to share what the Lord gives us in these five verses, and then we will get ready to leave this place on this holiest of days. Psalms 100, reading from the NAS, it reads thusly, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." For a little while this morning, developing an attitude of gratitude. Developing an attitude of gratitude. And I would that the army of God that is gathered here this morning will repeat our thought with us. Developing an attitude of gratitude. Let us agree in prayer. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we come before your presence this morning, God, realizing you are God and you alone. There is no one greater. Thank you, Father, that in your awesomeness, you still think enough of us, that you loved us so much that you gave us your Son. And Father, even with that, you allowed us to wake this morning and come again to the house of prayer. And for that, we said thank you. Touch right now, Father. Search me and examine me that there's nothing in me that will hinder your word from coming forth the way you desire it to be preached. Touch me, God. Anoint me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Touch everybody in this place, God, that they'll be open to hear a word from you, that you may get glory and the body of Christ may be edified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Developing an attitude of gratitude. There's some things that we just ought to be able to do, that we ought to know how to do. And certain things in terms of the rules of indicating proper and polite ways to behave is called etiquette. It is the right thing to do. And one of those things that is just the right thing to do is to say thank you. It's right. Gratitude can be a difficult thing to teach, but a vital lesson for children to learn. And I dare say not just for children, but sometimes it's a vital lesson for grown-ups to learn, to be able to be grateful for whatever you have. That's the struggle sometimes, that we are so focused on what we lack that we forget to be thankful for what we've got. Say amen if you can. Psychologists have found that people who regularly said thank you and remember to be grateful for things in their life tend to be happier and more optimistic. They can't say these are, that is definitely a cause and effect relationship between gratitude and happiness, but counting your blessings certainly do not or doesn't hurt. In other words, it helps to be grateful for whatever you have. Every once in a while, it's good to just list the things that you count as blessings, because if you're not careful, you'll miss something that God has blessed you with. United Healthcare produces a newsletter for women called Women's Day. In their online edition, they list 5 easy ways to show children how to be thankful. If you'll allow me, just want to touch these 5 right quick and share a couple of things from this scripture, and we'll be done. The first thing they say, it's good to practice daily gratitude. It's good to just practice daily gratitude. Get in the habit of remembering to say please and thank you. Sometimes our children don't say it because they never hear us say thank you and please. Thank the people, amen, children. Thank the people who fix your dinner and your breakfast, and mama, daddy gets up and fix you something to eat. Don't just sit down and eat and, amen, and forget to tell them thank you. Amen. Be kind and generous to servers at restaurants or cashiers in stores. And before you go to bed at night, just take the time to list the things on this day that God has blessed you with. If you take the time to list, I got a roof over my head. That's a reason to say thank you. I've got blanket and covers on my bed. I've got a bed to lay in. That's a reason to say thank you. Got pajamas to put on. They may not always match up. Amen, somebody. But you got pajamas to put on. That's a reason to say thank you. You're going to bed, amen, full and not hungry. That's a reason to say thank you. He said practice daily gratitude. Make daily identification of the things you have to be grateful for. Another thing that they say in this newsletter is to give before you receive. I know that even now a lot of folks are almost bypassing Thanksgiving. That they're almost, amen, especially some of the younger ones, that Thanksgiving not even on the radar. Because they're looking forward to Christmas. Say amen, somebody. Yeah. Already got their lists. Already checking it twice about what they want for Christmas. And Thanksgiving's not even here yet. But learn, before you get in the habit of talking about what you want, learn to give before you receive. We can help our young folk out if prior to Christmas we go through the stuff that they got and determine this we're going to give to somebody who's in more need or greater need than we are. We don't have to keep holding on to stuff. There's clothes in our closet, especially with some of our young ones, that they never got a chance to wear, still have price tags on it. Before you buy something else, give something away. Amen. My sister shared with me once that she discovered as she cleaned out her closet, shoes that she had never worn. That's a blessing. Say amen, somebody. I remember growing up when you had 2 pair of shoes. One you wore to school and one you wore to church. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Amen. And you better not get them mixed up. You better not wear your church shoes. Amen. Any other day but when you go to church. If you've been blessed to have more than one pair of shoes, that's reason right there to give God praise. When you can decide, I want to wear this pair today and this pair tomorrow. When you can match your shoes with your outfits, that's a blessing. You're learning to give before you receive. Deacon Neil in here today. Amen. Is he here? Neil's not here. What? Amen. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Amen. I did not know that. We will keep him lifted in prayer. Just came to my attention that his sister passed, but I must share this about Deacon Neil. He was on my spirit anyway. Amen. If you've ever played golf with Deacon Neil, that There's something peculiar about him. Every outfit he wears in golf, he's got a corresponding matching pair of golf shoes. He got it like that. Amen. I got one pair. And I was smart enough to get them black because they go with everything. Amen. We're blessed. And when we're blessed, and even though I have the one pair, I'm blessed to have the one pair. Give. He says, practice daily gratitude. Give before you receive. And third, it says in the article, always, always say thank you. Always. There's not a moment you ought not to say thank you when somebody does something for you. So even the smallest child can say thank you for anything they receive, whether it's a sample at the grocery store or a birthday gift. Even if they don't understand what it means, they can get in the habit of saying thank you. And then when they're older, you can teach them what that means, but get it in them. We let other stuff get in them at an early age. Let the word thank you get in their spirit at an early age. If you can't thank someone in person for a gift, sit them down and let them write thank you notes to share how appreciative they are for whatever they receive. Get in the habit of always saying thank you. Amen. There are a couple of more that I wanted to hit, but my focus is on the thank you this morning. So I'll just share these other four without going, other two without going into detail. Make gift giving exciting. Make it exciting for a child to give so they're more excited about giving something than receiving something. And always, lastly, remember those who are less fortunate than you are. Here's the reality check. No matter where you are right now, there's somebody worse off than you. Amen. There's the old saying that said, I cried because I had no shoes until I saw a man that had no feet. There's always somebody worse off than you. And when you remember where they are, you can learn to say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Amen, somebody. Most of you know my sister's dealt with dialysis. Sister Benefield has been blessed that God has allowed her to be a miracle, and we praise God for that. But I think about Sister Benefield. I think about my sister every time, and others, every time I use the bathroom. You know, don't take that for granted. Don't take that for just common things, because just to be able to go to the bathroom, do you know how many folks would praise God, would give what they could to be able to go to the bathroom? Remember those who are less fortunate than you are. So it's important to understand that we gotta say thank you. Now, if we can say thank you for those things, surely we can say thank you to Jehovah God. And that's what this psalm is. Some theologians believe it to be a psalm of praise and thanksgiving for David. Others believe it to be a psalm that was developed after the captivity. I don't care which you prescribe to. The reality is, it is a psalm of thanksgiving. And I want to look at three quick things, amen, in the context of this. First, in order to help us develop an attitude of gratitude, we got to first truthfully diagnose our condition. Truthfully diagnose our condition. It's right there in verse number 3. Look at what it says. It says four little quick things. First of all, we are not self-made. You think that you're the one that has allowed you to accumulate what you've accumulated, to do what you've done, to get the job you have, the education you have. You think you're the one that bought the house you live in. I know you're paying the note, but you better realize something. Everything that you have, God gave it to you. Everything that you know, God regulates your mind to be able to understand up from down and right from left. And everything that you are, God made it. The Bible says that he opened doors that no man can close, and he closed doors that no man can open. Whoever you are there because God made you and God placed you. Somebody ought to say amen. 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 We got houses that we didn't build. We're drinking water from wells we didn't dig. Amen, somebody. We have the benefit of being in positions that just 50 years ago, let me say this again, 50 years ago, the only way you'd have been in that building, the only way you'd have been in the presence of those folk, if you were in there cleaning something instead of running something. So you better give God praise for the doors that God has opened. Look, we're not self-made. I know that's a fallacy that has been put out for years, that you got to be your own man and you got to make something out of yourself. What you got to make is to humble yourself before the Almighty God, and he will exalt you in due season. Learn to tell somebody, I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody about somebody who can save anybody. You better humble yourself. We're not self-made. And if we're not self-made, second point in that context of that diagnosis is that understand who it is that made us. God made us. And not only did he make us, but thirdly, we belong to him. If I didn't make myself, if I had nothing to do with my getting here, amen, then I can't claim anything as it relates to what's coming in my future. Because anything I try and control when I had no, amen, input into who I am or whose I am, I had nothing to do with Annie Ree and James Willie, oh Lord, James getting together. I had nothing to do with that. But when they got together, God allowed them to have me. It is a result of God saying that I was going to be born to the parents I was born to. It was God saying I was going to go to the schools that I went to. It was God that opened the door for me to come to First Baptist over almost 10 years ago. I didn't ask for this. God allowed it. And since I have no control over that, I must understand that I don't belong to me. I belong to him. And the sooner we get that as children of God, the sooner we can be relaxed in the comfort of his arms and his will, and we find that safety in the arms of God. My mistakes are that I do things outside of the will of the one that I belong to. But when I walk in his will, when I yield to his will, then I know no matter what happens, everything's going to be all right because I belong to God. Is there anybody in this place ready to recognize you belong to him? Tell your neighbor, you belong to him. Yeah, thank you. I know Benefit. Amen. He also is our shepherd. That's right there in the verse. We belong to him. He's our shepherd. Oh, man, that blesses me, Sister Sneed, to know that, amen, he's my shepherd. That's some responsibilities that belong to the shepherd. Three quick things. First of all, the shepherd is responsible for guiding the sheep. That's why the songwriter says, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Amen. Then he says, I'll go with him through the valley. But he also says, I'll go with him through the garden. That lets me know that sometimes the shepherd's going to lead me to some places that are not comfortable. But if the shepherd is leading me, amen, and he owns me, not only does he guide me, but something else the shepherd does, he guards me. So if I'm going through a valley, I don't have to worry about what's in the valley, because the shepherd is guarding me. Stuff that will come at me, the shepherd is getting away from it. Praise the Lord. That's why you can go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, for his rod and his staff gives us comfort. Is there anybody in this place today know that you made it through hell and high water, not because you figured it out, but because the shepherd guarded you? And look, he doesn't just guard the physical me. The Bible says he guards my mind, for he says, I will keep you in perfect peace. Anybody been through some valley experiences and you thought you were going to lose your mind, but you felt some peace within that nobody but God can calm your spirit? And in the midst of your storm, you heard Jesus said, peace, be still. You tell me you don't have a reason to give God praise today? You'd be crazy if you haven't given him praise. Gosh. He guards the shepherd. The shepherd guides. The shepherd guards. But also the shepherd grazes. In other words, the shepherd feeds us. And I love the shepherd feed me. Not only does he provide my sustenance in a physical nature. That's why I don't worry when money get funny. If you haven't experienced money getting funny, you haven't been around long enough. I believe everybody here can say at some point or another, money got funny. But somehow, some way, God still made a way. And somehow food ended up on the table. Amen. He grazes us. He feeds us. But I love the fact not only does he feed me physically, but he talks about something to the woman at the well that he says not only will he give her the thirst in terms of what she needs to drink, but also he will feed her the water that he gives her. She'll never thirst again. And I'm so grateful that God feeds me his word. He feeds me his will, that even when I don't have the physical things, I've got Jesus. And somebody knows that's enough, that sometimes you may have gone to bed, amen, a little physical hungry, but you went to bed full of the Spirit of God and you slept like a baby, even though your body might have been yearning something. The Bible says that God will comfort you even in your weakest moment. He guards. But we got to do something. We got to diagnose. We got to look at. We got to truthful. We got to be real with ourselves. And when the body of Christ is real, that's when God can move. Amen. When you see other folks being blessed, amen, don't look at what they're doing. Examine what you're not doing. Amen. What's holding me up, Lord? I see you calling on everybody else. I see you opening other doors. What is it I'm not doing, God? What is it that I need to do to allow you to bless me? The Bible says he wants us to prosper as our soul does prosper. So learn, truthfully diagnose your condition. Secondly, learn to discern his position. Learn to discern his position. When you understand certain things about Jehovah God, it helps you when you can't see him. When you understand who he is, but it doesn't seem like he's active in your life, it helps to know who he is. Verse 5 shares that with us in the context of this text. I can go through something and still be grateful because I know who God is. I know the attributes of God. And I know because of the attributes of God, even when I messed up, even when I make mistakes, even when I don't do all that I should, even though I don't go all the places he tells me, even when I go down the wrong track, I still know the attributes of God. And verse 5 tells me that God is good. Now, massage that a minute. Not good in the context of how we describe good. Our good is conditional. Our good is based on how it benefits us. Our good is based on whether somebody was good to us, then we'll be good to them. But the Bible says he's good. It's his nature to be good. And in his goodness, his mercy is everlasting. So, what does that mean, Pastor? That means that his mercy, his not doing to us what our actions or inactions deserve to be done, that's his mercy is everlasting. I need to meet that person today. If you're in this place today, I need to meet you. I just want to spend a little time with you, because there's some things you can share that I think will bless me, because I've never seen that. I need to meet the person in here today who's never sinned. I'll give it time to think about it. I'll give you a little time for reflection. So if I'm in a room with some folk I got common things in common with, then I'm also in the room with some folks who's been the recipient of something that this word talks about. And that's his mercy. That's because God didn't hold stuff against us. That He keeps on blessing us. The songwriter says he keeps on doing great things for us. In spite of us, he still loves us. And you tell me you don't have a reason to give God praise? You can't say thank you? He's worthy. He's worthy. He is everlasting. His truth, his word endures for all generations. And that blessed my spirit to know not only am I blessed because of how good God's been to me, but my children will be blessed. And should he delay his coming, my children's children will be blessed. God will bless generations. If you just give him praise right now, God will bless your seed and your seed's seed. If you learn how to tell him thank you right now for what he's already done. That's why, amen, that's why, Sister William, I get happy sometimes. I'm grateful when I remember stories that my mama told me about what God did for them when it was 10 of them and their mother died and each child had to raise another child in the fields as they worked, and yet God blessed them. And not only did God bless them, but then he allowed their children to get education that they could only dream about getting, that he'd allowed them to go to levels they never thought about love going to. And I can praise him for that. But then I also praise him about what I see him doing for my children, taking them to a whole nother level. And I can praise him not for what I've seen, not for what I'm seeing, but I can praise him for what I can see in my mind's eye that he's going to do long after I'm off the scene. And you tell me I don't know how to give God thank you for what he's already done. I've seen him heal sick. I've seen him turn children who are wayward and put them on the right path. I've seen God do miracles in situations where other folk had given up. I've seen God make ways out of no way. And I'm not just talking about in my life. I'm talking about in some of y'all's lives. And you tell me you can't come into this place and tell God thank you? Our whole mindset ought to be different. We ought to have attitude of gratitude. And lest I hold past the time I shared with CJ that I was going to preach, he asked me, Daddy, how long are you going to be? I told him the time I'm shooting for. And he asked me a little later, how long are you going to be? I told him again the time I was shooting for. And then he asked me one more time. I said, you ask me again. Every time you ask me, I'm adding 5 minutes. And I know my son, he's very aware of how long I've been up in now. But the context of this text is wrapped around this thought. We got to learn how to give God praise. In verses 1, 2, and 4, it helps us, it gives us an example of how we ought to praise God. It says first we ought to shout joyfully. All the earth. I ought to learn how to just shout joyfully. Anybody got a joyful shout? I mean, just a real... When you get excited, how do you respond? What do you do? Think about something Christian. That excites you. Amen. Amen. And I don't mean to hurt our singles. But there's some things as married man I can think about. But there's some things as a single I can think about that excite me, that are godly. How do you respond to those things that excite you? Help me out here. Think about your hobby. Cooper, you just made a hole in one. That's all you're going to give me? Read, you've been out there hunting and you just bagged the biggest thing you ever shot at. How you respond to that, Brother Reed? See, Brother Reed just laid back anyway. But that's Brother Reed, amen. That's the way he gonna respond. Amen, somebody. Amelia, you just aced every class, your senior year at whatever school you're going to college, you've laid everything out. You just gotten back from your around the world tour. How you react to that? How do we react when we're grateful in any situation? Well, shout, the Bible says, shout joyfully to the Lord. The heavens declare his glory. Everything in nature speaks to the glory of God. Have you noticed when the leaves, before they fell, that they gave a final shout in the beauty of their colors? They said, God is good. And they said something else. We might be falling off these leaves, off these trees, but we're coming back. I don't want you to miss that. On their way out, they gave God glory. Because they knew we're going down for a season, but just hang in there. In a few months, we're coming out, and we're going to look good all over again. In other words, if you're in a season of struggle, still get a shout of joy. The birds chirp. The lions roar. The dogs even know how to give a howl. Amen, somebody. The roosters crow. The cows move. Shame on us if we don't know how to give God praise. Went by a little birthday party yesterday and to dedicate a baby, a one-year-old baby. Went to bless her. Bless her parents up in the Atlanta area. And I went and shared with her, and as I'm holding this one-year-old in my arms and I'm talking about what the Lord said about suffer little children come unto me and forbid them not. And I'm sharing about when the mother asks for a child, if you give it to me, I'll give her back to you. And as I'm sharing this to those in attendance, the baby is looking at me, and out of nowhere, the baby puts a hand together and said, God bless, a one-year-old. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. A one-year-old. While I'm talking about the goodness of God and what he's doing and giving her back to God, the baby said, God bless. I've been in 10 years, and some of y'all ain't said amen yet. The one-year-old baby said, God bless. What's wrong with us? We can't give God praise. You're not praising me. You're not minding me. You're saying what the word of God said. He says, come into this place with thanksgiving. That's it. If y'all don't have it now, y'all ain't gonna get it. Amen. That's all I got. That's enter this course with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You're worthy, God. And we bless your name right now. You're awesome, God. We acknowledge you in every aspect of our lives. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. In spite of our downfalls, you keep picking us right on up. And Father, we just worship you right now. I would that you would stand to your feet and just worship God. Just take this moment, however you want to worship him. Just worship God. Just give him praise. Just give him glory. You know what he's done for you. You know what your desires are in your life. Give him praise. Whatever your mode of praise is, just give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You're such an awesome God. We praise you today. Thank you, God, for what you've done in the lives of these your people. Thank you, God. Even now, have you moving in their lives. We thank you right now. Anything that hinders us from praising you, remove it right now in the name of Jesus. As I extend the invitation to discipleship, my brother, my sister, wherever you are, if you don't know him in the free pardoning of your sin, I pray that you will come down right now.